just come right out and talk about sin. Why not? I know it's Easter season, and I know that most of us would just as soon never mention it, but let's just go ahead and do it anyway. Let's be bold. Talk about sin. We can start with the really biggies, but first we have to determine what really big sins are, and we have to agree. And maybe we could agree that genocide, the mass murder of as many people as possible in an entire group, in an attempt at ethnic cleansing, would be a biggie, especially if we don't agree with the people doing the murdering. We can probably agree that rape is a sin. I'm sure there's some other things we could agree would definitely fall into the category known as sin, and even as biggies. Murder in general would probably be in there, but then there's capital punishment, and we divide into groups on that one. Same thing with abortion. So let's just leave those alone. Let's talk about sins that we deal with on a daily basis. The ones that we would really just as soon leave under the table, or better even, under the rug, keeping company with the dust bunnies. Should we start with lying? That one is quite sticky. Is fudging on your taxes lying or stealing? I know, this is a really bad time to be bringing that one up. But there it is. Here it is, out in the open. What about adultery? Yikes. There are all sorts of scriptural lists involving sins, both in the Old Testament and in the New. The Old Testament lists tend to be a little bit more detailed. There are more lists of what one should not do, like wear clothes made out of wool and cotton blends, or eat shrimp or pork. The New Testament talks about things like licentiousness, which to my ears leaves all sorts of wiggle room. Frankly, I'm not sure I can name one surefire act of licentiousness. And while I could certainly look it up in the dictionary to be certain, I prefer to leave it vague just in case. Just in case I'm being licentious on a daily basis. One less thing to worry about, don't you agree? Of course, then there's that one about love God first, then your neighbor as yourself. That one nags at me on a daily basis. It's not a don't do. It's a do. And sometimes those are harder. Still, we have to contend with both. Those things done and left undone. We talk about that every time we pray the general confession. So here we have it. Sin right out in the open. Sin all over the place. Sin right here at Grace Church, just like in River City. It's enough to make us downright squirm. It's enough to make us pretty darn uncomfortable. I hope it's not quite enough to make us get up and leave, because I'm pretty sure that would be a sin too. So what are we going to do with all this sin? Not one thing. There really isn't a whole lot we can do about it. Certainly, we can make every effort to avoid those things we do that fall into the category of sin. And we can try our dead level best, moment by moment, to do better with those things we know we need to do. But no matter what, we will still find ourselves wallowing in sin. So what I really want to take a look at right now is what sort of example we have, especially in regard to those sins we may think are really unforgivable. Those things that we are carrying in our very being and that we honestly don't believe that God can get over. Those sorts of sins, whatever they are, the ones that weigh us down, that keep us burdened, that make our hearts and souls feel like they weigh hundreds of pounds. I'm not asking for a show of hands here, but I know that some of us are carrying those past faults around like we are carrying an extra body. So what example do we have for the seemingly unforgivable? Well, today we have two top-notch examples. First, there is Saul. And I think that we can agree that persecuting Christians ranks somewhere up there in the top 10 of biggie sins. Saul was going around the countryside doing just that, and he did it well and with a vengeance. He even boasted about his talent at persecution. And with sin like that, we might think that there is no way that God could forgive Saul. We might even expect him to be struck down by a bolt of lightning. You know what? I think in one way he was. But the bolt of lightning didn't kill him. It didn't blast him out into utter oblivion. The bolt of lightning that hit Saul was Christ coming to him and opening the way for him to become one of his most ardent followers. And if that example of absolute forgiveness isn't enough to make even Episcopalians shout hallelujah, we also have the example today of Peter. The very Peter who denied he knew Christ. And not just once, but three times in a row. And if that weren't bad enough, if that isn't enough sin to make you cower with fear and loathing, Peter gave up. Jesus had returned to the disciples twice in his resurrected body. It would seem that after two up-close and personal encounters with the resurrected Christ, they would be motivated to spread the news. But Peter decides to go fishing. He defeatedly decides to go back to doing what he was doing before he started following Jesus. That might be one we can relate to. This following Jesus is not going exactly as I had thought, so I think I'll just get back to life as it was before Jesus. Rings a sin, doesn't it? Given the denial strikes against him and the defeated attitude that made him want to forget about Jesus and go back to fishing, we might think that Jesus would wash his hands of Peter. And certainly that he was beyond forgiveness. But no, Jesus was not about to let him go. So Jesus comes to them a third time. He finds them in the boat without any fish. They can't even do this well anymore. And he tells them what to do so that there are so many fish that anyone watching would have bet that the nets would break. Peter, so burdened by his sin, throws his clothes on because he is naked. He, like the original sinner Adam, tries to hide himself from God. As if clothes covering a body are camouflage against God. Jesus sees right through that. And you know what the amazing thing is? The amazing thing is that Jesus still loves him. And not only that, but he opens the door for Peter to be fully returned and fully restored. And not only that, but Jesus gives Peter the role for caring for the people. The one who denied, the one who defected, that very one is given the command to take care of Jesus' people. Feed my sheep. Talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness and more. And here we sit, clothed in all our clothing and covered in all our sins, worrying and fretting that we do not measure up, that we are not good enough, that we have sinned beyond redemption, beyond forgiveness. That is not true. That is a lie. That is a sin. And God is good. We have been forgiven. We are being forgiven, and we will be forgiven. Put down all that extra weight. God loves us, and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.